You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Commander Tom, and welcome to the American Hour. We got a special guest here. He's running for U.S. Senate in Florida, and that's very important because we really want to get rid of Bill Nelson. But, of course, I need to tell you where I'm broadcasting from because, you know, I broadcast live from a lot of places all over the world. And today I'm broadcasting live from Brunswick, Maine. Yes, famous Brunswick, Maine. There used to be a naval base here. It is gone. I'm sad to see that. But in any case, it's a lovely place to be, a lovely time of year. And we have Paula Lazon-Osman, my co-host, with us today. Paula, how are you doing today, broadcasting live from Boston?
Yes, I am. I'm actually sitting up on a field just outside of Boston watching my boys' soccer game.
That is dedication, though. You are broadcasting day while watching your boy play soccer. That's awesome. I love that dedication. Thanks for being here with us, Paula.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and of course, our good friends Dick and Ann Birnbach are joining us live from Port Orange, Florida. Dick and Ann, how are you today?
We're doing good, Tom. Good. Well, welcome to Tom's show, Mr. McNeil.
I'm glad
and of course,
to be here.
Yes. We have Ron McNeil running for U.S. Senate in the state of Florida, the great state of Florida. Ron, thank you for joining us today. Start right off by telling people where they can go on the Internet or anywhere else to find out information about your campaign.
Yes, I'm Ron McNeil. I'm running for United States Senate in Florida against a liberal Democrat, Bill Nelson. I'm a Republican, conservative, and Tea Party member as well. And my website is just www.mcneil, that's M-C-N-E-I-L, E is before I, mcneil2012.com, M-C-N-E-I-L2012.com. And there's all kind of information. There's books they can download free, like Painless Rebuilding of American Greatness. There's also a two-page overview of that book to give you some real highlight points on what I stand for and why.
Awesome. Okay, and I'm just looking at your bio right off the web there, that you are an inventor, manufacturer, businessman, author, specializing in environmental engineering of products and equipment. We like that. You got 12 U.S. patents with the last five in the environmental field. That's awesome, and especially coming from a state like Florida, we need somebody like you that understands what's going to be great for the Floridians, for tourism, for the environment, for everybody, and I think that's just awesome. Now, what is it that made you decide or made you feel compelled, if you will. I guess compel is usually what people say, to get into this race and take out Bill Nelson.
Well, you're correct on the word. As a matter of fact, I started about this month, a couple of years ago, writing a book called Have We Lost Our Minds? And I finished it this spring, and the more I wrote, I have to say, the more upset I got. I was trying to write a book that I could be a spokesperson all over the nation for any type of real patriots and Tea Party groups and so forth to help canonize what they believed and why and how, what kind of situation are we in America? What was the great things about America that we violated to get to there? And then what are some real solutions to solve these problems? So I was going to be a spokesperson and just say, well, hey, here's 21 different chapters of what we can do and how we can make this country great again. And like I say, the more I wrote, the madder I got, and I decided finally this spring, I've spoken at the opening session to 600 Tea Party members out in front of the Capitol right after our governor of Florida spoke, and I decided right then I'm the one that's got to run. And so I then wrote Painless Rebuilding of American Greatness. It's five basic subjects of things that we've got to do different and how we're going to meet through them in order to rebuild this country financially. If we don't rebuild it financially, we're not going to do anything else to break this country.
Yeah, I agree. Well, listen, so you're in this race. You know, how long have you lived in Florida, by the way, just out of curiosity?
I was born here, living all my life.
So you know Florida from day one. What is it about Bill Nelson that is just not good for Florida? And then we can move on to the nation. But
well, for one thing, he's kind of a part of this Agenda 21 deal, and he's right in stride with the Obama administration and all this liberal government stuff to just right in stride, step by step with Obama. And we've got to stop this. We've got to have another congressman in Florida that's like Rubio is, that'll stand fast on our Constitution and what we have to do to rebuild this. The big difference between me and Rubio is that I've been for decades doing national and international trade and building products and manufacturing goods and those kind of things. So I have a vast experience in this that he doesn't have, but I'm kind of an older version of a Marco Rubio, I'm afraid.
Okay. All right. Well, now, Dick, you have met personally with Ron McNeil. Tell us your impression for the viewers out there, what you thought of Ron McNeil when you first met him.
I met him at a 9/12 meeting, and just the way he talked and stuff got my attention. For I'm used to reading people, and he struck me as a very honest person compared to a lot of politicians I've listened to, and I've listened to quite a few. And I talked to him personally on the phone a number of times and after the meeting, and I'll tell you, on his card that he hands out, he's on horseback. He's riding a horse, or he's sitting on the horse. And myself, I'm a horseman. My daughters grew up with horses. And anybody that rides a horse cannot be all bad, I'll tell you that.
Well, thanks. But I can certainly ride.
He impressed me with the way he handled himself, his honesty, and some of the things he's looking at. And I also like his background. There's quite a few backgrounds that can help the state of Florida and help get our country back on track.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hey, you guys know, if you don't hear me, I'm taking a call or something like that. I had to go.
Okay.
We were getting some wind background technical difficulties. Remember, Paula's out watching her son play soccer, so we had to come up with a solution for the wind solution there, but I think we solved it. So, in any case, all right, Ron. Well, now, what about nationally here, what Bill Nelson has done? You know, I'll tell you this. I got a letter from him that really teed me off about a month ago, and I wrote him back. And his letter was essentially telling me what his plan is for fixing our economic problems and paying down the debt. And I sent him a very short letter back saying, essentially, you are the reason we're in this debt. Since when have you voted against any of Obama's big government spending? When? And I got a form letter back that, you know, talked again more about his vision. This guy is a follower. He will follow the Democrat Party right off the cliff. He will do anything that they tell him to do. I don't think he's ever voted against the party, ever stood up for anything important other than NASA, because he's supposed to be, you know, representing NASA in Florida, and he's occasionally taken a tough stand on that one item, but I don't think anything. So that's why I wrote him and said, you're the reason. You personally are the reason that we're in this situation. It's people like you, and you will not get reelected if I can do anything about it. So with that said, what about this jobs bill that Obama has been talking about? More and more information is coming out. He spoke this morning, and I didn't want to look too closely at it, but now, of course, he says he's going to tax the wealthy, anybody making over $200,000 or $250,000 if a family. But also in his initial jobs proposal, he said he wants to give tax breaks to entrepreneurs, inventors, this would be in your line of business, and small businesses. So wait a minute. Aren't those the people that we're also calling wealthy? How does that work? We're going to give them tax breaks, but then we're going to tax them. And this is my own opinion. You tell me if I'm right or wrong here, Ron. The tax breaks he's talking about, small businesses really can't take advantage of. But the taxes that he's going to put on them, they're all going to feel. And it's really overall not going to truly make a dent, because there are other ways, we'll talk about it in a few minutes, but other ways he's going to come after the rest of us. And they're going to come after the rest of us. But what do you think about his jobs bill?
Well, let me tell you, for one thing, that whole administration does not want the middle class to have more. They want the middle class to be poor, because the whole agenda is to try to control the masses of America. And that's what they're doing. And they're not fixing to do anything specifically but to help small business with any significance. Listen, here's the thing that I'm not hearing anybody say that's been in my book now for 2 years, is that we need a term I call permanence of conditions in this nation. If you don't make it where the businesses can depend on a certain tax base for indefinitely, like 20, 25 years. As a young man, I was offered 26 years if I would go build one of our manufacturing plants in another country. 26 years, I could make every dollar I could make and not pay 1 cent of tax if I would build my factory in their country. And and they would help me with banking. They would help me with facilities. They would help me everywhere they could help me so that I would employ their people. And that's what we're going up against. And I haven't heard Republicans, and certainly not a Democrat, say anything about that. We have to have a long-term plan here. If you're going to invest $100 million or $1 billion in the United States to build a factory or a home office or a distribution center, you're not going to do it if you can't depend on the government what they're going to do next year. And so far in the last 20 years, we've had one thing we can really depend on from our federal government, and that is that we cannot depend on the federal government. They will change the rules, they'll change the regulations, they'll change the banking, they'll change everything they can change for power and the votes to stay in power. So we have to get it where my tax plan calls for a 10% of retained earnings only tax on corporations. No deductions, but let them deduct the dividends they pay instead of dividends being an after-tax deal, have it a before-tax deal, so that dividends are deducted, all their expenses are deducted, whatever your retained earnings are for what you do, you're going to pay 10% of it. You won't have a GE making $38 billion and not paying a dime of tax. They would have paid 10% of that. Now you've got it where companies will want to locate in America and build their businesses here and their home offices and their distribution centers. So if you bring that capital in, then my plan also calls for a 5-year moratorium on any money that's brought in from offshore accounts or from overseas. Any company wanting to bring money back into America or into America and build a business here, they get to this. They don't have to pay tax on that money when they bring it into this country. That way you've got capital back in here. Now you've got I want to put a 10% tariff on any goods coming into America. We're bringing stuff in from China, put a 10% tariff of duty on it, so that, because they're manipulating their currencies and they're also having super low wages, so our people can't compete with that because of the NAFTA agreements and all that stuff. So we need to make it where we have a tariff on everything coming into America. And there's one more key thing that I plan to do in my tax plan for businesses, and that is, anything you buy that's American-made, you can buy one of my patents. You pay cash for it, you write it off the same day you pay cash for it. You want to finance a building for 5 or 10 years, you write it off over 5 or 10 years, not 40 or 50 like our tax plan has been. Only for goods and services and products that are made in America. You want to buy sheetrock that's made in America to help form up your building? Good. Go ahead. Concrete block, it's made in America, you write it off the day you pay for it or the year you pay for it. And that way we will ignite this economy to bring the $2 trillion that's overseas into America to build businesses and home offices and employ people here. Once we get them people employed, now you can really cut back on the entitlements.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you that we need to do everything we can to create incentive, and you know what? In fact, it's really maybe not even about creating incentive. It's about removing the barriers and de-incentivization that this government has created over the last quite a few years, maybe even decades.
Yes,
but we've
right.
got to get back to that.
Have to be the best place on earth to do business. We have to be the bastion of free enterprise. If we're just going to see now, some of them say, well, we need to get down to the same tax other countries come. Well, that still won't bring the businesses back. They've already got their corporations over there in China and everywhere else. They're not going to come back to America just because we'll make it a little more equal. We've got to be the best place on earth to do business so that American citizens can get employed.
You got it. I've said that myself for years. We've got to make other, companies, whether they're American or not, be begging to come into this country, begging to put their plants in our country and employ Americans. And we can do that. And you're absolutely right. There are many, many ways we can do that. I like that. So now tell the folks out there why you are better to be taking out Bill Nelson than some of the other folks that are in this race.
Well, I'll tell you, if they will download either one of those books, Have We Lost Our Minds or Painless Rebuilding of American Greatness, they will see that there's great substance there from a world of knowledge that's been gathered over four decades of doing national and international business. We have been in business. We have fought these wars. We fought these struggles. I had five different big companies from California to Pennsylvania try to steal my patents. I spent over $1 million in legal fees keeping those patents and got every claim still owned by myself. And so to fight the wars with the bigger fish trying to destroy some entrepreneur like myself, I fought those wars. I fought a 10-year war with IRS. I will be the worst enemy the IRS ever had on the planet. And we're going to change this nation, and we're going to change the tax plan. Now, I have a tax plan, Thomas, a little different from the regular fair tax or flat tax, and I would vote for either one of those and gladly sponsor them or whatever. But I don't think they're really ever going to pass. So I came up with a McNeil tax plan for individuals. You've already heard my stand on corporations. For individuals is a 0.5% to 12.5% on earnings on your income side and a 12.5% fair or flat tax on expenditures. I'm going to buy a $500 refrigerator because that's all I can afford, and I pay 12.5% to the federal government as a tax on it. Donald Trump's going to buy a $10,000 one, and he's going to pay 12.5% on that. And so the people in really low income, they're going to be from that 0.5% to 12.5% on their income side. I plan on no deductions other than your contributions to charity, because they're going to do humane things for the people cheaper than any government's going to ever do it. And the interest you pay. If you pay interest on any debt, the person who collects the interest has got to declare his income. So interest you pay and contributions, only deduction, you're going to pay 0.5% to 12.5%. So everybody participates. Nobody pays more than 25%. If you're the richest ones and the highest earners, you're going to pay 12.5% on your income and 12.5% when you buy something. And that will straighten. And another thing about that is to have it where the tax system wanted set in place and redone, and you just got to scrap this thing. We ought to have a tax plan that any high school graduate should be able to understand the total tax code. It should not be more than 100 pages long. He can write the tax code instead of, you know, 70,000 or whatever it is. But we have it where you cannot alter that more than once a decade. See, the problem in America is all these deals have been cut for the power to stay in power by buying votes. Acquiring votes to get in power, keeping that power is what these guys are all about. They don't care what 51% they get. This one gets the SEIU and the AFL-CIO and the ACORN group and the entitlement group and whatever. And here's another group over here trying to get down in South Florida getting all the older folks for Social Security. And whatever they can get their 50% plus one is what these politicians are trying to do. And I'm telling you, that's got to end. We've got to do this thing to set up the nation right for all of America. Got to be fair from top to bottom. Cannot be about your district or your state or your whatever. It can't be about bringing in, you know, pork barrel spending back to your area, and you get a few million dollars and you, by extortion tactics, you sold your vote on something that might cost us billions or even $1 trillion. And so there's things that we have fundamentally got to change about how this government operates. Rewriting the tax code and rewriting the system for free enterprise business is two of the top ones.
Okay, well, that sounds great. I like what you're having to say about that. Let me ask you about this. You said that your last five patents were in the environmental field. Can you give us an idea what kind of patents those were?
Yes, there's 97 different patent claims granted for different features in technology and product and so forth. And what we do is we rebuild infrastructure. We do it around 600 or 700 cities nationwide up in Canada now. And we got those patents in the European Commonwealth countries in Canada and Australia and Mexico and the U.S. And they are for rebuilding infrastructure. In other words, we can go to a highway and have an old corrugated culvert rusting out in it. In just a few hours, we can rebuild that to something stronger than the original culvert was without ever having to dig up the streets. We do the same thing with vertical shafts like manholes. There's one every 300 to 500 feet up and down every street in America. And the manholes and the sewage pump stations and anything where corrosive gases and liquids are going, we mold in a new epoxy-type fiberglass liner. It's like building a hull of a boat inside the old structures. And we can do it horizontally or vertically. And we rebuild the infrastructure without having to dig up the streets or anything. And what we put in the ground has been certified by engineering studies to have a and test labs to have a useful life of 100 years in the sewer, long time in a corrosive sewer environment. We do it for industry, and we do it for municipalities.
Mr. McNeil.
Go ahead.
I don't recall what show it was I seen it on, but I believe what you're talking about, I seen a movie on that as to how they can now line the pipes, and it's probably exactly what you're talking about without destroying them and digging them up. And it makes them better than they were originally.
Yes, Dick, when we mold our hull in like an old culvert or something, it'll have a higher flow capacity after we do it than it did when the culvert was brand new. And our stuff, the liner we put in is as strong as a piece of rebar would be if you could beat rebar into a flat sheet. When we mold that in, it's totally bonded to the host structure in most cases, and it's made out of something that won't deteriorate in the sewer or in the environment. And when we go into industrial units, we use a resin based on what is the best resin to offset the chemicals or the things that are involved in that particular plant's environment.
All right.
You were talking
go ahead, Dick. Go ahead.
Okay. You were talking a little bit about products that are companies that are taking their business overseas and then bringing the products back here. Somebody pointed something out to me, and I started looking at the local Lowe's and the grocery stores and stuff like this. When you see items, I'll take light bulbs. They're made by General Electric and some of these other big companies, Westinghouse, that make light bulbs and stuff. Read the package. They're made in China. They also will have light bulbs that say maybe Best Buy or cheaper, whatever. Look at those. They will say made in the USA.
Right.
And you look at so many products, that's the way they are. You look at these big brand names that we've dealt with all our lives, and they have taken their business overseas. Look at the cheaper
exactly
ones,
right.
And you'll find out they're made in the USA. And if I remember right, to be labeled made in the USA, 80% of the work and the product must come from this country.
Yes. Well,
or you can't carry that label.
I've talked often to people in my speeches that they need to look at everything they buy and see if they can buy a made in American product. And, you know, the other day I went to a Home Depot and I was going to get an offset grinder and a reciprocal saw. And I thought, I don't care how much I have to pay, I'm going to buy one that's made in America. Here I am running for the United States Senate. And by golly, you couldn't. Every single brand, Milwaukee, DeWalt, everybody, when you looked on the little plaque where it has amps and so forth, the last line almost would say made in China. Every single power tool in there was made in China. And that's not knocking Home Depot, it's just all those big companies, like you say, they're making their stuff overseas. When Clinton did the NAFTA agreements, I knew it was over for American manufacturers because there's no way you can't get better deals. And just like myself, as a young man getting offered 26 years tax-free if I build my factory somewhere else, well, that's a pretty big incentive for a young businessman. Now, I didn't do it. All my stuff been made in America. But components, I've made components all over, and I bought raw materials and stuff from China, bought them from Republic of China, Taiwan, and so forth, and components and things I needed. But by and large, all my stuff is made right here in America.
I don't think there is anything that is made in China or any country, as far as that goes, that we can't make it better here. And I'm serious. They took our ideas and took their 50 cent an hour labor and started pulling our businesses away from us.
That's right. You know, Tom, I used to go to trade shows and still do, but you would see them there with their cameras. They're coming by your booth trying to see what you did next. See, I go way back in manufacturing. My older brother is pretty well known around America and other countries. He was the guy that got the original patent on a round trampoline for the outdoors. We used to make one every 12 minutes. And but you go to these trade shows, it's all sporting goods. Back then, I made about 40 or 50 different sporting goods items, the Roy machines and treadmills and those inversion units and all kind of stuff. Up until 84, I went into the environmental industry. And I'll be in that the rest of my life because I'd rather solve a problem than keep it solved permanently. And fitness things and all those were just one fad after another, and it would drive you nuts. But it in all those trade shows, you'd have people coming around with the cameras shooting everything you had made. Well, you know they're just going to go back and copy them. We just got rich, run them out of our booth. You go take pictures somewhere else. You're not taking pictures of our stuff. And so we were from the redneck Riviera, I'm afraid. But that was the way it happened, and that's what's took place. I would go over to Republic of China and design some component I wanted to build. Well, by the time I get back to the next show, somebody from some other country showing up at the show with my component.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hey, well, listen, let's talk now about healthcare, and I want to ask you about this, Ron, because I have a lot of friends that want to see Obamacare repealed, but then I have a lot of friends that think something needs to be done about healthcare in our country. What would you say is a solution that could work for both sides?
Well, I have a chapter in my book on Have We Lost Our Minds book about healthcare, and I think it's pretty simple. You know, we bid jobs all the time for building something, whether it's a road or a sewer system or whatever, and you have all the engineering specifications, and you got to, you know, compact the road to 95%. Proctor and asphalt this thick and the curbing this way and all these things, the sewer system here and this far off the road and all the things that we write in specifications. My philosophy is that we need doctors and a panel for the federal government to come up with a plan called a BHP, a basic health plan. They're not going to sell it to us or make us buy it, but they write what's the minimum health plan that they would recommend for any American citizen, okay? They can even do it. Here's one for young people. Here's one for middle-aged people. Here's one for old people. I don't care. But a guideline of what, basically, of what really ought to be involved in a health plan. And then you turn it over to all the insurance companies all over the nation and let them say, okay, here's the BHP. Here's a basic health plan. We will provide you this for this much money. Now, we provide all these other kind of plans, all kind of better, lesser, whatever. But if you had the specific specification for a basic health plan, it would be the same with every company. Right now, if you go with Humana, maybe you get one type of deal. If you go with, you know, somebody else, Blue Cross Blue Shield, maybe it's a different plan, and you don't know how to compare apples to apples or apples and oranges. This way, it would be all apples in that field, and everybody could bid on that if they could, and then you could buy across state lines. That way you get the cheapest health care possible by companies selling it all over the nation, and it would be a certain plan that was the government's official specification for health care. Now, get the government out of the health care business other than writing those documents, just like you would do the same thing with banking, the same way with investment capital. Here's the criteria that you have to go by for full disclosure and all those things. And so here's your categories. Here's one over here for healthcare with a BHP, a basic health plan. And like I say, those companies could also sell the Cadillac deals and the Pinto deals and all the rest. But they ought to offer, or if they can choose to offer the BHP, then everybody is online with a product and a price from 100 different companies nationwide.
That sounds great. Go ahead, Dick.
I'm sure the insurance companies have done studies, but to my knowledge, they don't publish it. Who actually causes insurance companies more money health-wise? Is it the younger children, the middle ones getting injured more? Is it the elderly as they get sicker with old age? where does the insurance companies really pay out their money? What age group?
Well, I don't have any clue on that. They might.
I don't either. I don't think they've ever put anything out.
Yeah, I've seen it, Dick. It's on the elderly. It's on seniors.
Well, they don't spend more money on seniors, but are you collecting 10 times as much on the seniors and paying out 90% of it? Are you collecting a low price on a young person, but their rates are so low you're still paying out 90% of what you're collecting? I don't know how that goes. But the fact is, if you make it where it's free enterprise, it drives the market without the federal government being involved. And you may, another thing you have to do about the health care program is I want to just basically eliminate tort reform. I want it to where it would just be the most atrocious of violations of human rights for you to be able to be sued as a health care facility or as a medical practitioner like a doctor or nurse. So you need to make it almost impossible for anybody to sue anybody in the healthcare business, because we've got to have investment in the healthcare, and we've got to have people saying, yes, I want to be a doctor. I won't go to school for 12 years and wind up being sued the first year of my practice and lose everything I have. So you've got to make it where you don't have just a million ambulance chasers. And one thing I put in my book you may get a kick out of is all the not-too-good attorneys could be the people that kind of monitor the hospitals and stuff, kind of like the restaurant people come in and check your restaurant, make sure it's clean and you're cooking food okay or whatever. They could do that. And the really smart lawyers just go back to school and become doctors.
Yeah. I think our court system and, of course, our attorneys that we have in private practice are part of the problem there, because they come up with all these frivolous lawsuits that should never be heard by a court, should never go anywhere. And the court is hearing these things, and what's worse is they're making awards. And the biggest one that everybody's aware of is the lady at McDonald's in her car, spills coffee on her lap after putting it between her legs, sues McDonald's and wins because the coffee's hot. Excuse me?
Right.
That never should have gone to court.
No, that's right. That's what we've created is a nation full of people hoping they can somehow, it's like winning the lottery, if they can win the big suit for something happening to them. We don't need that kind of thought processes. We need to build this country. We need to have personal responsibility and personal dignity and go at life hard and make this country great again. And we can do it, but you can't do it with a bunch that's running this nation right now.
Let me tell you the philosophy behind my parents, and I'm very proud of this. I was in a boat, a fishing boat, and I was rammed broadside by a speedboat. My boat was destroyed, and my dad's boat. I had a compound fracture and spent 3 months in the hospital fighting lockjaw and gangrene. It was a young fellow that hit me. He was 17 years old. Dad was a farmer. They were afraid of being sued by my parents. My parents' philosophy was, your son caused the problem. You fix the boat, you take care of the medical bills, and we forget about it.
Yes.
There was no lawsuit.
That's the way it ought to be. I personally was hit by a 17-year-old kid in an old full-size Buick at about 60-65 miles an hour when I was stopped and rode my foot on the brake. And I didn't sue him. His mother was a maid. You know, I didn't file any suit. They had a little 10,000 PIP or something like that. And we did whatever we could do for me. And I never collected a penny from anybody from it. But, you know, just you take some chances when you go out there in the street and you do anything, whether you're walking or riding or riding a bicycle. You know, life has a lot of things that happen in it, you know, and we're all surprisingly to even still be alive after 50 or 60 years. We've taken too many chances at too many.
Yeah.
Well, life is full of lumps and bumps, and that's how we learn.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, I'm going to take a little commercial break here for a second.
Go ahead.
Guys, we're going to take a little commercial break here, okay? I've got to promote the Tea Party Convention in November. CPAC Florida is coming up in about a week and a half. I don't have the specific information on that, but I'm going to be there broadcasting at CPAC Florida. I already got some people lined up to interview, one book author that we've had on the show before, and she's working on a new book. Susan Bradford, you can go to the website, usaradionetwork.com, and find out more about her book and what she's been working on. And we'll come to you in a moment, Paul, because we want to check on the soccer game results. But so stand by to have those ready for us. November, let's see, I think it's 4th, 5th, and 6th, if I'm right there, Dick. We've got the first Tea Party Convention of Florida going to be in Daytona Beach. So go online and check that out. Just do a Google of that. Yeah, it's going to be the convention center. Nice place. We've been there before, not for a Tea Party convention, but for other events. It's very, very nice. The Hilton right across the street is giving a $99 a night discount, so a fee. So a great place to stay, right on the ocean, beautiful area. You're going to have fun. And the ticket prices include meals while you're there, admission, and I think a few other things. So you don't want to miss out that. And there are going to be some great speakers. I know that Marco Rubio is going to be there. Herman Cain is going to be there for the presidential debate. They keep adding speakers. And Mr. Casey, that was on the show a couple weeks ago, Cold Sun, he's going to be there talking about his book, Climate Change, as well as I'm sure he's going to have some books. I'm going to get him to autograph my book. So don't miss that. That should be a lot of fun. And are you, Mr. McNeil, you're going to be there as well, are you not?
Yes, I'll be there and in a debate as well.
That's right. There's going to be a senatorial debate.
The senatorial debate, yes.
Excellent. So you don't want to miss that, folks. You can go online and find out the entire agenda and what's going on. So that is something to look forward to, and we hope to see a lot of you there. We'll be inside the ballroom with our table set up broadcasting, and I'll also be roaming around. And Paula will be joining us from her live studio in Boston during that time period. Our exact broadcast times are not set yet because we want to wait and see who the final guests are going to guest speakers are going to be and the different events that are going on so that we can pick the optimum time to broadcast and do interviews. But we will get that on the website, put that on Facebook and Twitter as well once we get that in stone. And that probably won't be till maybe the middle of October. So just stand by for that. Appreciate that. Paula, how is the soccer game going?
Well, come to find out, it was actually a practice. Things got switched around, so they won't be having a game until tomorrow, if not the possibility of next week. So I'm home now,
okay.
and I do have a question for Mr. McNeil when you have a moment.
Please, yes, go right ahead right now.
I read something about how I'm in the energy industry, Mr. McNeil, and I read that the wind industry lobbies for tax credit extension. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the pre-tax credit that's looking to be set to expire at the end of 2012.
On the tax credits for drilling and so forth, for oil?
Mostly for where the production tax credit program allows owners of wind projects that sell renewable energy to a utility to take a tax credit of 2.2 cents per kilowatt. For the first 10 years of a project's operation. The program is set to expire at the end of 2012, and the uncertainty over whether it will be renewed has already affected the renewable energy industry.
Well, for one, it surely should be renewed if you're going to put energy back into their lines. But I tell you, my position on energy is real simple, and I have lots of writings on it. Is one, we need to get the government out of the energy business, period. And free enterprise should reign totally on free enterprise, on the energy. We need to make America energy independent of every other nation on earth. We don't need to be subsidizing energy. Now, your local utility company, sure, if you're going to put on a method of making energy and it can put energy back in their system, there ought to be credits for it. As far as our energy is concerned, we need to make it where America is not dependent on any other nation on earth for our energy. Everything we do should come from North America, whether it's Canada or the U.S. and the Gulf and Alaska and so forth. We need to have refineries built. Matter of fact, we need to have – they're talking about this pipeline trying to pipe the oil from Canada all the way down to the Gulf Coast. Well, why don't we just build some refineries up here in the Dakotas or Montana or somewhere up in there so the oil can just come a little ways into refineries and be refined and then go on about shipping it all over the nation or taking it all over the nation. There's a lot of things we need to look at, but if we turn loose and get the regulations and the mess out of the energy industry so that people could drill for oil and build refineries. We haven't built a refinery in the United States in 35 years. So free enterprise will take it to where the people who are in the industry business, energy business, will make certain that we have energy. I'm making a long answer to your question, but if you think back 100 years ago.
Oh, no, that's fine.
If you think back 100 years ago, we had 1910, we had 144 miles of road and 8,000 vehicles totally. Well, look what we have today. And look where our technology has gone since then. Don't you know that people like myself and other inventors are going to solve our problem for energy over the next 100 to 200 years? We got 200 years worth of natural gas and oil and coal and so forth in America without using anybody else's energy. So we can solve the energy problem, and then if wind and solar becomes a great deal, okay, it'll become a great deal. If it's, geothermal or some of these other things that they're trying to do, all they're doing right now, our federal government is using all these methods of energy to tax us into oblivion and do wealth redistribution, and we need to get them out of the business of being in business.
Agreed. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, that's true. Now, we're going to reiterate your website. We're talking to Ron McNeil for Senate in Florida, 2012. Go to McNeil, McNeil, 2012.com, McNeil2012.com to find out more about him. Looks like you've got a phone number there, a contact email, and other information so people can get a hold of you. Is there anything else you'd like to let the people know about you and your campaign that they ought to know, Ron, as you continue to pursue your senatorial race here?
Well, I would say I have another big thing with me basically is making our nation go by the Constitution. We have a great document the last 200 and something years, and we need to go by it. We don't need there's some things that we need to do there. We need to make sure that legislation cannot be forced on the states. If it is an obvious contradiction with our Constitution, until it can be proved by the federal government that it is constitutional. So it shouldn't have to be just like Obamacare has been stuck on us, and the states are filing all these lawsuits trying to stop it. But the fact is they're making us enact it and spend all this money until it's proven that it could be thrown away. And so we've got to do those kind of things so that we don't wind up with a bunch of stuff crammed down our throats in their one world government and their Agenda 21 stuff. So we need to make it where they have to make sure legislation is according to our Constitution, or we don't have to go by it unless they can prove that it in fact is constitutional. I want them to make sure that they begin each fiscal year with a budget in place. And if there's no budget in place, no money can be spent, starting with congressional and presidential salaries, not threatening like they did all this last time with Social Security and our military and all these things. We're going to lose everything. You didn't hear mention that the congressional salaries stopped and the president's salaries stopped, did you? So I want to make that first. If you don't pass a budget prior to the year beginning, you can't spend the money, and the first people to be eliminated from the income side would be the president and the Congress.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One better than that, Mr. McNeil. Congress, whether it be state or federal, is in session for a certain period. Quite often they don't get things settled, and they have to go into special session. If you go to special session, you do it without getting paid. You didn't do your job while you were in session. Now you're going to do it on the House. Taxpayers aren't paying you for it. Get your job done.
Well, they need to get their job done. I have one little philosophy. I told a group the other night, they asked me about term limits, and I told them it seems that many politicians need to be limited to two terms, one in office and one in prison.
That's a good one.
I think what they've done to our nation is treasonous, and we need to get back to the basics of our Constitution, do what's reasonable and fair, let free enterprise flourish, let our people be employed, and then you can begin to get people off entitlements. If we don't do those things in those kind of orders, making us energy independent, we will not survive. It doesn't matter how big your nation is, you can crumble, and we would do just that if we don't change what this bunch in Washington is doing and get Obama out. It's going to take, we're totally getting control of the Senate. And I want to say this. I know you probably got a few Tea Party folks listening out there. I heard a bunch of different ones saying, well, you know, they need the black vote, they need the this vote and the Latino vote and all that. Let me tell you something. The Tea Party groups are going to decide who becomes president, because they're going to decide who winds up being the Republican nominee, and their force behind us, they've underestimated all us Tea Party type Americans. We're not a bunch of racists and bigots. We're for this nation under the guidelines of our republic, operating like a republic, fair to all and not unfair to any, with a tax system that's not punitive and destroys one person, or lets the federal government decide who can make it in business and who can't, who gets bailed out and who can't, who gets to not do Obamacare and who has to take it. We don't want them in those businesses, and that's what the Tea Party folks are all about. And they are seriously underestimated, all us people, and we are going to stand up, and we are certainly going to take our nation back. And we will find out in 2012 if we do just that.
Amen.
Oh, awesome.
Amen.
Very good.
Tom,
very
I'd like to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
You mentioned something that is not working on Mr. McNeil's site. Could you tell him about it, and maybe he can correct it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have your site up anymore, but on the issues button, just clicking on that doesn't bring anything up. I know it did before. Something must have dropped out, but you might want to have your web guy take a look at that.
Well, thank you.
Not bringing up the issues, yeah. But under your bio,
okay,
about Ron, it does have your five key points, so that is there. But those things happen.
Okay.
It's happened to me in the past.
Yeah, I'll work on it. As a matter of fact, my email that I've had on some of those sites just got severely compromised, and like 8,078 letters went out to all the email addresses I had for that I was stranded in Europe, and
$2,000,
they had robbed me and took everything but my passport.
You need somebody to get back
last
to Europe,
week.
Huh?
So I had a lot of cash. I told one of my friends today, I said, you know, I need to go back on that and just say, listen, of course I can't get into my website and tell people that was fraud. But to go back on there and say, well, listen, I got my tail home right by myself. How about sending me at least $100 to help my campaign?
There you go.
So anyway.
I was going to say, that's a unique campaign strategy.
See if that's
going
to help me get back from Europe. Well, certainly I wasn't in Europe. I was right here in Florida at Tea Party meetings and Republican Executive Committee meetings.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to wrap it up so I can take my parents out to dinner here in lovely Brunswick, Maine. We're going for some more lobster, and looking forward to that. Paula, as usual, we're going to give you the last word as we wrap it up here. And again, Mr. McNeil, thank you for joining us. Good luck in the race, and we'll be watching and probably have you back on the show somewhere along during the campaign.
Well, thanks. God bless all of you, and I sure enjoyed being with you.
Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure
thank
meeting you.
Thank you for coming
McNeil.
On the show.
All right, Paula, take it away.
Shout out to our troops overseas, specifically the Navy, specifically those serving on the USS Providence. My godson's mother and her lovely young man got married this past Saturday. He serves as an MM2, I believe it is, on the USS Providence, and they're out enjoying their honeymoon out in lovely Pennsylvania this week.
Awesome. All right. Well, Dick and Ann, thank you for joining us as usual, and you have a great rest of the week. We'll see you soon down there in Florida. And Paula, take care. Have fun with the soccer game, and good luck to your son. Hope he scores a bunch of goals, even if it is practice. And we'll see everybody on Wednesday. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, Dick. Who's our guest on Wednesday?
Wednesday is
Margie Padgett,
Margie
right?
Padgett at 7 o'clock at night.
7 p.m. Eastern, yes. All right.
Yes.
Excellent. All right, everybody. Take care. Thanks
Good
for
night.
Joining us. We'll see you Wednesday.
You're listening to The American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.